The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, we're going to stay with matters transport, because the Transport Research Arena is a big biannual conference that is taking place in Ireland for the first time this year. It's the 10th running of it. It's running at the RDS. Now, I was there this morning. I was hosting one of the opening sessions, and they are talking about the future of travel and what more we could be doing in Ireland. That little travel nerd inside me did get excited to go into the brand new Dart carriage, which they had managed to bring in. It's very swish compared to what we're used to on the Dart in Dublin. But it's also an opportunity for us to compare and contrast how we're doing with other countries. And I'm joined by EY's global transport leader, Tony Canavan, who's with me now in studio. Tony, good evening.
Evening, Jonathan. Thanks for the opportunity.
It's lovely to have you on. From your accent, people will discern that you're not from Dublin. So it's always worth getting an outsider's view. We love to complain about our public transport system in this city. How do you find it?
How do I find public transport here? Well, actually, I'm being pretty impressed with my visits to Dublin. One thing your listeners might be interested in knowing, I think, is that they're not alone if they complain about their transport system. That seems to be the one thing that just about every city or country has in common. No matter how good it is, they tend to complain about their transport system. But look, I think it wouldn't come as a surprise to people to know that many congestion is a big shared issue around the world, often a sign of success. That's the fact that people want to move and live in a city. So congestion's a very prevalent problem. Public transport's a big part of the answer to that. And, you know, in recent times, there's been some big inroads made in public transport. Indeed, I think I was here in Dublin about 1.5 years ago, and at that point, I think it was the only city where public transport patronage had gone up since the start of the pandemic, at least the only one that I could find, because, as you know, it went down and a city's locked down. So,
More people are getting the train than ever had gotten it before, which means that the demand is there for the consumer. Is it common as well? I know you say people always complain about it, but is it common as well to complain about the same things? Because right now we realise the best way to improve our transport network in Dublin and in Cork and in Galway and in Limerick is to install more bus lanes. And God forbid, install cycle lanes where people who don't want to get the bus or the car can cycle safely without fear of being knocked down. This causes apoplexy in some people who think it's a terrible idea. Is that a universal apoplexy?
Look, it is. The battle for road space is raging over the world. Our roads were built and for motor vehicles, and motor vehicles grew in number all around the world. The roads grew in accordingly to meet that demand. But congestion's got to the point now where we need people to share the road and to share their trips as well. And that means buses, and we also want people to be active, and that means bicycles. And the only place really, most places anyway, where they can do that is on the road. So the object of the transport network is to move people, not to move vehicles. Mm-hmm. Buses have a huge role to play in that. Clearly, some places are harder than others to make room for buses, but they need to be given priority in some way in order to provide the kind of service that we need them to do.
But the problem is that we're a very car-dependent city, and now that this big revolution is underway where we're moving from petrol and diesel to EVs, the city is throwing up another problem. Where do you charge them? So if you have on-street parking or you live in an apartment where access is limited to a charger, you're not going to be able to use your electric car. Again, a big problem. We heard Dublin City Council don't like the idea of these booms coming over so you can plug in your car and the infrastructure is somewhere on the other side of a fence. We're going to have to get creative here, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. And, the need for EV charging facilities for people who don't have off-street parking, again, is a problem shared with many countries around the world. At the moment I live in Singapore, and nearly everyone lives in big apartment buildings, condominiums and so on. Hardly anyone lives in what they call landed houses with their own off-street parking. And so their solution, is about providing parking for charging facilities in the car parks of those apartment towers. Mm. In other countries, it's about converting service stations into EV charging. The mix between the private charging and the public charging of electric vehicles varies from place to place, country to country. And in places like Dublin, where it's a lack of off-street parking, it's going to take a different mix from other places where there is, they don't have that same lack. So, look, I think it's about getting to the local councils, about, making space on the roads. It's about converting service stations.
People think these are wonderful ideas. They just don't want it outside their house.
Sure.
That's the problem. We think it's great. It's far away, not in front of us.
Maybe in this instance they do want it outside their house.
Yeah, that is possibly true as well. I mean, as I talked about the revolution, it became clear today that, the internal combustion engine, much and all as it has given good service to humanity, apart from the pollution for the last century, is its days are numbered. And all of the research and advancements today were on different forms of fuels and different ideas. The question really is, how do we identify what's the best pony to back here? Because somebody has texted in, this is a new one for me, is the future for cars nitrogen? I heard this once. I don't know how true it is. I didn't remember hearing nitrogen this morning. Definitely heard hydrogen and definitely heard battery. What should we be looking out for in terms of the next big thing that will revolutionise how we get around?
This is a tricky area because we don't have time. There's a climate crisis and we need great acceleration in the transition to zero emission vehicles. And as we sit here today, the automotive sector has largely placed its bet in that it's going down the battery electric vehicle route. Some are looking at hydrogen, but capital and resources has moved to those technologies, which means that it represents the fastest path that we have at the moment.
Mm.
Now, that might change. That might change.
But presumably the batteries are going to become better.
Yes, they already are.
They're infinitely better than they were when we started.
That's true. They're cheaper. There's talk of solid-state batteries that are going to perhaps remove a lot of the anxiety we have about recharging our batteries because the length that they will offer is going to be, a lot longer.
Mm.
But I think we need to get on with what we have in front of us today. Sure, other things will come along. That's good. But when you think of the climate crisis we have, the challenges we already have, I think we have to go with the path we've set out on.
The other thing that is apparent here is we have an infrastructural paralysis when it comes to investing in big projects. It seems like it was easier for the Victorians to decide to put underground tubes in London that will allow for trains to run through them than it is for 21st century engineers to come up with a cost-effective plan that will stay on budget. There is a fear in government here, and I'm presuming elsewhere, because it's the same with Crossrail in the UK, it's the same with HS2 there and indeed in other countries. Governments are terrified about starting big infrastructural projects that would take cars off the road because they don't know how expensive it's going to be. Is that going to change?
I don't think so. I think that's the situation we're in. The regulations, the processes that are in place to get to approve and get large transport projects or large infrastructure projects underway are there for a reason.
Well, to be fair to the Victorians, they didn't have such foibles and they got things done. Nobody's complaining now. So, I mean, is that a lack of willingness at state level to commit to getting something actually done?
I don't think it's a lack of willingness. I think it's just a probably caution. I can understand why. These are big endeavours. The moment you take on a big project like this, the people who start that project will probably not be there at the end of it.
You mean the politicians, don't you?
Yeah. No, I mean the people leading the project because they're long-term. They're long-term things. They take a long time to do and they're very expensive, as you say. But, what choice do we have? In a place like Ireland, in a place like Dublin, where there is a need for greater capacity in the transport system, and yet we don't want it all to come from more motor vehicle trips, then investing in public transport capacity makes sense. I think it's a matter of getting the expertise in. Think globally when thinking about that expertise. Yeah. That's the reality. Well, when you step into one of these projects, you are stepping into a global competition.
Our example talent. Here in Dublin was the Lewis, which everybody gave out about, and the disruption that it brought when they were putting the light rail system in. And now we could do with two of them, three of them, and those systems are there. You never regret investing in public transport. Don't forget the internal combustion engine life is potentially extended with hydro-treated vegetable oil and other environmentally friendly fuels. Is that potentially an outcome, or is that only a stopgap?
There was a change in EU regulations just recently to enable the use of synthetic fuels, which means that internal combustion engine or petrol cars can hang around a bit longer and work on those fuels. But we've got to be a bit careful because, the demand, we want people to think about hybrid or fully electric vehicles now, if we're going to make this transition. Also thinking about, can I eke another 5 years out of my internal combustion engine vehicle as well for someone who's in the market to buy a vehicle? I'm not sure if that's helpful, but it is true. Your listener is spot on. That there's a lot of research going into that, and it could very much extend that life for some vehicles.
And inexplicably, EV sales were down something like 25% in the first few months of this year. It ain't going to be finished today or tomorrow, but the project is underway, and indeed lots of conversation about it at that Transport Research Arena event in the RDS, and 4,000 delegates at it. Amongst them, Tony Canavan, EY's global transport leader. Thanks for joining us on Newstalk, Tony.
Thanks, Jonathan.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.